We are not good ambassadors, and we lack the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. Your salvation is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task. God has given us what? This task. What is task? Task is an assignment. Task is a duty. God has given us a task. Maybe you don't know that God has given you a task. But God has given you a task. God has given you a job. There is a reason why you are saved. The reason why God sacrificed his blood for you. There is a reason. God has given us a task. Hallelujah. What is the task that God has given us? Look at it. It's to reconcile people to him. What does it mean to reconcile? To bring people together. People who did not belong. People who have been cast out. People who are not part of the commonwealth of Israel. Through the death of Jesus, he has made us accepted in the beloved. And it is our duty to reconcile those people, bring them back to God. In John chapter 10 verse 16, God says that he has other sheep who are supposed to be in the sheepfold, but they are not. And it is our job, right, that we bring those people back. It is our job. God has given us a new ministry. And the new ministry that he has given to us is to reconcile people back to him. Hallelujah. Amen. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. So that means that we have a duty to tell the world that God has forgiven us our sins because of his death. He has canceled our iniquities. Because of his death, there is no reason why you shouldn't come to him. You cannot say that, oh, I am not righteous. I don't belong. I want to wait till my sins are cleansed, till I become good before I come to the Lord. No, that belongs to the past. Now God has saved us, and he has a duty. He has a mission, and that mission is that he is reconciling the world back to himself. And he has given us this task to do it. He has given the job to us to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are supposed to go and tell the people that now this is good news. God is no longer counting our sins. And he's not, you know, making us guilty for our sins. He has forgiven us. He's not counting it against us. But now he is setting us free. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. It's a wonderful message. The message about Christ, the message about salvation, the message about reconciliation. The Bible says that it is a wonderful message. Oh, it is a wonderful message. It is good news. Hallelujah. I said it's a wonderful message. It's a wonderful message that God has given unto us to tell the whole world. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are Christ ambassadors. We are who? Christ. We are Christ ambassadors. We are Christ ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, oh, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. God is saying that he has chosen us as good ambassadors. And he has given us a message. And the message that he has given us is a wonderful message. And what is the message? The message of reconciliation. The message of reconciling the people of the world back to God. The message of reuniting the lost back to God. And it's a wonderful message. It is a message of telling people that there is forgiveness. It is a message of telling people that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we are ambassadors of Christ. Now, who is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of a sovereign country. So, Ghana is a sovereign country. And if you are an ambassador of Ghana, you are Ghana's representative here in America. So, if you are here as a representative, you represent Ghana. So, where your office is Ghana. Where your house is Ghana. If somebody is chasing you and then you run to that place, it is like you are in Ghana. You have sought refuge there. And anytime you represent a country, you know, you also have certain privileges. Do you understand what I'm saying? You represent your country. For you to be able to represent your country well, you must know about your country. Please, can I have some water, please? You must know, hey, how many people are getting the water? It's powerful. Amen. So, if you represent your country, it is an important position. Do you know that? If you are Ghana's ambassador to the U.S., you are very, very important. It's a very powerful position. You will desire that more than any job that you have currently. Hallelujah. It comes with a car. It comes with house helps. It comes with chauffeur. It comes with a house. Comes with vacation. Hey, it's powerful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mrs. Mandela. Amen. It's a very powerful job. And you are supposed to know a lot about the country that you are representing. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. They ask you about the capital city of your country. You shouldn't say fish. You must know. When we were in primary school, there are some people, I mean, they don't know anything. And this guy was always whipped by the teacher because he does not know nothing. So he developed a strategy. When the teacher asks a question, those who lift up their hands, he will not ask them. He will call those who did not lift up their hands. So that the teacher, if you give the wrong answer, the teacher will whip you. You see, so we all learned that strategy. So if the teacher asks a question, whether you know it or not, you lift up your hand. So this guy, he realized that he has been receiving the lashes for too much. He has been receiving the lashes for too long. So when the teacher asks the question, what is the capital city of Ghana? Then he lifted up his hands. And the teacher was shocked that this guy, today, he knows something. So he knows the answer and he has lifted up his hands. So the teacher said, hey, okay, Sambedu, give us the answer. The guy was shocked. What is the answer? Then the teacher said, we can't hear, we can't hear. Say it aloud. Fish. She says, what are you saying? He said, fish, fish. The capital city of Ghana is fish. Look, the teacher was so shocked that he couldn't do nothing to the guy. Capital city of Ghana is fish. But you see, you must know a lot to be able to represent your country. If you don't know a lot, you cannot represent the kingdom of heaven. You must know about the country that you are representing. And we are the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation, and we are representing the kingdom of God. So as you are here, you must know the reason why you are here. Your reason as an ambassador here, right, is to reconcile the lost back to the world. So an ambassador of Ghana represents Ghana. You know? So such people are very loyal people. They don't choose disloyal people to represent the country. You must be really connected to the king. You must be connected to the president. That is why when there is a change of government, they change all the ambassadors. Because you must represent our interest. And the Bible says that once we become ambassadors, right, we are representing God. So we must know the one that we are representing. Does it make sense? So Mark chapter 3 verse 14. Mark 3 verse number 14. The Bible says that then he appointed. You must be appointed to become an ambassador. Amen. If you are an ambassador, you need to be appointed by who? By the king. By the president. So the Bible says that then he appointed 12 of them and called them his what? Okay. Give me the King James version of this verse so that I can explain it better. And he ordained 12 that they should what? That they should what? That they should what? What are some of the advantages of being with somebody? You get to know him. You get to know him. If you spend time with a person, if you get to be with him, you know him, then you can represent him. But if you don't spend time with him and you don't know him, then you cannot represent him. That is why in Philippians 3 verse 10, the Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. So, most Christians are not proper ambassadors because we have not been with him. So, we don't represent him. So, an important meeting like this, because we don't know who we represent, we choose not to come. Right? Some have very genuine reasons. Others don't. So, we cannot represent the master well, because we have not been with him. So, we are speaking our own mind, not the mind of Christ. Because we have not been with him. So we don't know his mind. We have not spent time with him. But Jesus required the disciples' loyalty to be with him first. And after they be with him, he would teach them. So then when he sends them out, they don't speak their own mind. That's right. Sometimes when there is crisis in another country and they interview the ambassador, Even though we all know, that this thing is so clear. The facts speak for themselves. But hey, they represent their country. They don't represent the US government. And they don't speak their own mind. They speak the mind of the sovereign leader who has appointed him. And they defend. We don't have people, shepherds, who defend the church. We defend it. We join forces with the enemy and fight against the church. We don't have good ambassadors who represent the kingdom of God, who represent the church. You go somewhere and then you hear people talking bad things about the church. Maybe it is your problem too. So when you go, you just join the people. Meanwhile, you are an ambassador. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You can also say that you will be his ambassador. So you need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in you, so that you can represent God well. Most of us have resorted to manpower. Oh, teach them loyalty. Loyalty will, you know, give them the keys. If we are giving you keys, like by now, all the doors have been opened. But we have given you the keys and the doors are still closed. Your heart is still closed. Your mind is still closed. Closed. It is not about keys. It is not about manpower. But it is about the Spirit. It is not by might. It is not by power. But it is by the Spirit of the Lord. We are ambassadors without the Spirit. So we cannot be effective witness for the Lord. We are not witnessing properly. We have been sent into the world without this power to witness for the Lord. We lack the Holy Spirit. So God said that, you see, I will pour my Spirit upon you, and you, once the Spirit comes upon you, you become good witnesses. You see, prior to the Spirit coming upon them, the disciples, they deserted Jesus. Peter denied him. As for Thomas, there, he says, hey, I want to see Philip, before I will believe. Because the Spirit had not been given to him. But when the Holy Spirit was poured upon the people, do you know what happened? The same people. Oh, Peter, who was running away from that small girl. I'm telling you, Peter now decided to preach powerfully. Things were happening. One day he went to church. One day. And just one sermon, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. 3,000 people actually joined the church. You see, this is not natural. It is not natural that you go to church one day, 3,000 people, new people will come to church and join the church. And not only joining the church, they give their lives to Christ. It is not natural. But if you lack the Holy Spirit, you won't see some of these things. But when the Holy Spirit came, it was easy. Easy. They were able to be bold ambassadors. Amen. And when you continue to read, you will see that they were bold ambassadors. So some of the problems we have is that we are not good ambassadors and we lack the Holy Spirit. You see, if you are a good ambassador, you defend the church. You defend God. You defend the gospel. At one point, Peter said, look, you decide if it is better for us to obey God or obey you. You decide. You choose. Why was that possible? Because he has received something. The Holy Spirit had come upon him. But when the Holy Spirit was not given, when the girl said, ah, but you are also one of the disciples, he says, oh no. So, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, your behavior will be like Peter without the Holy Spirit. You would deny that you even belong to this church. You would deny God. You will join the enemies to attack the church. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you are very different. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8 verse 14. Romans 8 and verse number 14. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What does the scripture say? For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you want to know you are a son of God? Do you want to know? People who are led by the Spirit. They are not led by the flesh. They are not led by their emotions. They are not led by what they feel. You see, working for the Lord involves a lot. One day, you will be sent to go and buy food. And you will walk and go and buy the food. When you bring the food, the Lord will say, I won't eat it because I have food that you don't know about. And then you ask the Lord, so why did you send me to go all the way? You know that these people, we don't agree with them. But because you said you were hungry, we had to go and walk. And you bring the coffee and then we say that there is too much sugar. Why? Why? So go and change it and then mix it up and then, you know, what? You bring the food and say, too much. There is this pastor, you see, there are some people, they had a very wild upbringing, difficult upbringing. And normally you see them sleeping in their churches. You know, they are like church workers and they don't have anywhere to go and they sleep in their church and then they clean up the church. So through that he became a pastor. And one day he had an opportunity to travel abroad for a conference. They booked him in a hotel. And you know the hotels, they are really nice. Some of them are really, really, really nice. So when they showed him his room and he opened the door and he found the queen size bed, how the place was so neat, laid very well. He said, Lord, I am not worthy to sleep on this bed. I am offering it to you as a sacrifice. I'm just offering that to you. And he slept on the floor. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy to sleep on this bed. You see, you are saying what a shock. But it is somebody who is grateful. He says, I do not deserve this. I don't. Because who am I? From where I come from, the corners I dwell, who am I to sleep on this bed? God, it is an offering for you. One day, David, he was running away from Saul. His people went out to get water because he wanted to drink. And they went to dangerous places to get the water. When they brought the water and he saw the sacrifice that they made, they almost lost their life. He said, I'm not ready to drink this. I'm not worthy. So I am offering it to the Lord as a sacrifice. You want your pastor's chair, but you don't want his job. You want his benefits, but you don't want. Do you know why many of you don't give, you know, Galatians 6:6? You are counting the people who are coming. Hey, if everyone will be, you know, give him 20, 20, 20, hey, 20 times 40 is what? 800. Hey, he didn't work. Oh, he has got, yeah. People think about all those things, so then they don't. It's true. What I'm telling you is very true. Even that day, a lot of people don't come to church. A lot of people don't come. A lot of people don't come. Every Galatians 6 is you see half of the people in church. Oh, yeah. See half of them. Because their mind is all over the place. It's all over. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit will direct you. That you must communicate to them who teach you the word. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that those who are children of God, they are not moved by their emotions. Their decisions are not based on their emotions and feelings and what is going on in their lives. When they are fired, it is not an occasion to be angry with God and not come to church. I have found out that when people have problems, they take it on God. Yeah. You will find out that people won't come to church. You will investigate it. When they got up in the morning, they had a fight with their spouse. So, who said it is abnormal? It is normal. Even as you are driving to church, you are fighting on the road. But when you come, let's welcome our pastor to come and preach. And then you collect the microphone. He's preaching. He's preaching. He's preaching, but you won't come. When you lose your job, you won't come. Let me ask you a question. Ever since you joined the church, has there been any announcement that pastor didn't come to church because he was sick? Think about it. Is he not a human being? He is. He's a human being. Have you been away from church before because you were sick? Several times. Yes, I'm going to school. I'm doing my assignment, so I don't have to. Your pastor there, he's not a human being. He doesn't have assignment to do. Oh, kato praste telimuro krada sende. You see? So it's like he's a super. You see? Yeah. Let me tell you, we must actually pause, take a step back, and then assess our lives, our contributions, and then tell yourself the truth. Are you fair? Are you being fair? You see, and when the pastor is being blessed, you don't understand. You don't understand. But your boss is paying you. And if he is also serving the Lord and the Lord is paying him, you don't want to do what God wants you to do. And you are jealous about it. Why should the Lord keep you here on this earth if you are not going to serve him? Won't he kill you fast? He will cut you. Because he does not get any benefit from you. No benefit. There's no benefit. There's no benefit. Yeah, there's no benefit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. You can say you are a son, you are a daughter, but if you are not moved by the Spirit of God, that's it. There are people who say, oh, you are my father, me, I'm your father. It is because for, security reasons, I will not respond to you. But like my wife said, there are certain things. It's in your head. Don't bring it out. Because if you bring it out, it will be a problem. Look at my children and see if you look like them. Look like them. Whether you look like them. You call me daddy, but you won't do what I've asked you to do. You won't help me to do the work. You will not. You will not. And always you are moved by your feelings. You are not moved by your spirit. Ask yourself that if you have homework, will you come to church? Ask yourself if your daddy has homework. Because me, I went to law school when I was a pastor. I was a student. I worked also. I also had homework to do. So ask yourself, this your homework that is preventing you from coming to church, will your father also behave like that? Are you moved by the spirit or you are moved by something else? Most of us are moved by something else, not by the spirit. We are relying on the arm of flesh rather than relying on the Holy Spirit. So we are relying more on keys, on things that we know, rather than relying on the Holy Spirit. Who said he will build his church? Who said? God said he will build his church. He knows how to build it. He is not waiting for you to build it for him. He knows how to build it. And the Bible says that. The Bible says that. Those who are God's children, they are moved by this. They rely on the Holy Spirit. Not emotions and feelings. What will the Holy Spirit say? What is the Holy Spirit saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying? Because we think we know too much. We want to go and practice what we know. It is only when we hit our head against the wall that we come back. And we realize that, hey, the battle is not for the strong. The race is not for the strong. Uh-huh. Then you start praying. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 4. I hope you are understanding what I'm sharing with you. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. That means, I don't care about what you say. Bring me a New Living Translation. For me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I care little about you. That what I'm going to say, will it deprive you from your Galatian success or not? How much money do you give me? Don't give me nothing. In a church of about how many people, I won't get more than 20, 21 every single year. Not more than 2021. It is like that every year. So, it is not about what you will do that will determine what I say and what I don't say. No. So, Paul is saying that it matters very little how you evaluate me. Because I'm not your boss. I don't report to you. You were not the one who appointed me. So I don't have to please you. Pastor, these messages, when you preach them, people don't come to church. I don't report to them. These songs, when we sing them, now we have to sing Sonny Bedu. Sonny Bedu, dear, that is the latest. Listen, I don't have to. Oh, the people are leaving the church because we don't sing key songs. Is your key church working? It is not the biggest church. You have even closed the key church. So if you are going to think about the songs that the people want, and you will sing, you see, so when they say that, if you are a new pastor in town, then you rush to their aid, or you rush the things they say, and then you try to appease them. When they are even leaving the church, they won't tell you that they are leaving. How many of you have heard that because of the three songs we don't sing, that is why people are leaving? We have heard it cry, but you have closed down your three church. You have closed it down. There is a church for you to sing three songs, but that is not the biggest church we have, and it is even closed down. So Paul said that as for me, it matters very little how you evaluate me. Because I do not report to you. If I report to you, then I have to please you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. Let me tell you, I was thinking the whole week what I have to come and share. I couldn't find anything. I didn't know what to say. I said, I'm just coming. Look, in Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that as the people ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. You know, so let us come. I don't know how the meeting is going to start. If the Spirit takes over, it's okay. If we have to pray, it's okay. If we have to share, it's okay. We say that it is a retreat, a time before the Lord. I cannot even trust myself. Sometimes I feel so confident about something, and then I do it. It does not yield the result that I want. Hey, let's go on 40-day fast. After that, the problems that you will have. It is better you have not even fasted. And the question that comes to your mind is, who even asked you to fast? Did the Lord ask you to fast? Did the Lord even ask you to fast? Paul said, I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. So you have to rely on the Holy Spirit, because you can't even trust. You know everything. You have heard how the church should grow. Have you not heard it? You have heard it. Have you not done it? We have done it. Has it yielded the result that we want? I cannot even trust it. You got to trust the Holy Spirit, man. So we are ambassadors who lack the Holy Spirit. And we have resorted to our own strength. Let's look at 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel 5. And verse. Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, we are your own flesh and blood too. In the past, when Saul was our king, let's all read this so that we will keep awake. You were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, you will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader. So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel. And they anointed him king of Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years in all. He had reigned over Judah from Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. And from Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. Verse 10. Hey, don't do that. Go, because when I said verse 10, you didn't. As they were, you know, reading it, you just decided to jump. Go to 6. Yes, let's go. The Jebusites taunted David, saying, you will never get in here. Even the blind and lame could keep you out. For the Jebusites thought they were safe. 7. And David became more and more powerful because the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. 11. Then King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David along with cedar timber and carpenters and stone masons, and they built David a place. Continue. 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 Let's go to 19. 19, verse 19. Let's go to 18. Sorry, 18. 18 first. Amen. So you see, the guy was a very powerful king. He had had a lot of successes. Where is Eddie? He has had what? A lot of what? Successes. He was a very powerful person. And you see, verse 10, the Bible says that he had become so powerful and then God had given him a lot of successes. Isn't it? Verse 19, the Bible says that the Philistines came upon him. You see, you and I, the moment we achieve one success, we cannot even be advised anymore. We cannot. Once people say that, hey, your praise and worship was powerful, your head becomes like balloon. So even if somebody is giving you some tips, you say you in your mind you say, I know it already. Or even your attitude, you know. But you see, David had always relied on the Holy Spirit. So you hear a very popular phrase in the Bible, and David inquired of the Lord. So over here, David went to God, and then he asked the Lord, should I go to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord replied to David, yes, go ahead. Yes. He inquired of the Lord. So he did not have any doubt in his mind at all that he is going to be successful. There was no doubt. So as he was going, he had the full backing of the Holy Spirit and of the Lord. So look at what happened. Verse 20. Let's go. Amen. Do you know why he said that the Lord did it? Do you know why? That he said the Lord did it. Because he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said that, go. So when the success came, he said it was the Lord who did it. He was not taking any glory for himself. He was attributing the glory to the one whom the glory is due. Because he asked of the Lord. And the Lord granted it. Amen.
Amen.
What does that tell you? You must always be directed by the Holy Spirit. Just ask. Is this, even if you feel like fasting, ask, Lord, is this your will? Because when you are fasting, it sounds very nice, right? And you think that, oh, the Lord will be pleased with it. Maybe he doesn't want you to fast. He wants you to eat and do something else. Isn't it? So ask the Lord, Father, do you even want me to fast? Ask him. You know, because sometimes out of, you know, religious, you know, humility and false humility, we just want to do things to please the Lord. So that when you walk around, you are so lean and your face is white, and then, you know, you begin to even walk in a very funny way because you are fasting. But ask the Lord. 21, verse 21. Are you all reading?
Yes.
Verse 21. Amen. Amen. Success is not always there. success is not always there. Sometimes you will lead praise and worship powerfully. And people say, "Chelly, today I was blessed." So in your mind, oh, these songs worked. You don't know that it is not the songs that worked. It was because you relied on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave you success. Not that when I sing, oh, single, single, praise the Lord, yeah, that song will work. No. It is not a song that worked. But it is because you relied on the Holy Spirit, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. The time Peter thought that he was Obontia, he said, "If everybody leaves, I will not leave." He didn't know that his ability to slice, you know, people's ears and then his loquacity was because the Lord was with him. And the Lord was, you know, protecting him. But when the grace of God was removed from him, then he began to curse. He said, "You are nothing, you know. The reason why you are here is because the Lord is with you. That is why." Wow. When the grace of God is removed from you, you will see the way you will behave. You will even surprise yourself. Don't we do things that surprise us? Yeah. And you ask yourself, "Hey, it be me, Pa, doing this." Yeah. After that, you are so mobile. And you find out that, listen, you are nothing without the grace of God. You are nothing. I say you are nothing without the grace of God. So you need to humble yourself. Yeah. Anytime you criticize somebody for a wrongdoing, do you know what? The devil begins to take you up. And he will bring the same tests. And you will find out that you will not survive. Watch it, you will see. It is because you won't come and tell us. When it happens, you won't come and tell us. And we will not see. Yeah. A thief who has been caught, do you think that, you know, the first time he stole was the first time he was caught? Mm. He's been doing it, but his time is up. The devil will come and test you. The devil will come and test you, and you will see that you will not survive. You are just like the other person. That is why in Romans 2, the Bible says that thou shalt not judge. You are just like him. It is just the grace of God that is, you know, handling you and keeping you. You see, David, there is a reason why God loves him. He was not a proud person. And every time the devil will test you, and God will also test you. See, the first time he went, he did what? He inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, "Go. Go." And when he became successful, he said, "Oh, the Lord did it." But the Bible says, after a while, the same situation presented itself. Now, let me ask you a question. If you have some set of circumstances and you have been able to deal with it and it works, you apply the same formula. You apply the same songs. You apply the same strategy, hoping that it will work. But let me ask you, have you been surprised sometimes? That something that you were so sure of, it did not work, given the same circumstances. Okay, once you agree, then we can, you know, continue. I told you that one of our problems is that we are not good ambassadors and we lack the Holy Spirit. We lack it. So you see, Let's go again. Again? Let's read. Ready, go. Let's go to 22. Here, David, read it with us so that you don't, you know, move it so fast or move it slow. Ready, go. So the devil will come again. Do you know what is happening there? Do you know what is happening? Do you know what is happening? What is happening? It's very interesting. You see, David always inquired of the Lord. The sons of God, they are always moved by the Spirit of God. They don't rely on their own senses. Oh, I did it this time, it worked. So the next time, oh God, please sit. No, she should be beaten away. Now I can handle it. Yeah. Sometimes you behave like children. When you do, something's wrong. Oh, I will do it. I will do it. I know how to do it. It's okay. I can do it myself. Why? Because you had one success with the same set of circumstances. Just the next chapter. No. Just the next verse. It is just the next verse. The same circumstance presented itself again. David did not say, but in the previous verse, I've seen it before. This one I know. This one I know. Agofiduam. This one I know. So, if we were David, just one verse that separates the two incidents, you will not spend time to wait on the Lord again. You will not allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. Isn't it? Because you are familiar. But you see, he forgot about what he knows. He forgot about his past experiences. And he said that, look, I am going back again. Even though I am familiar with this, I am going back again and inquire of the Lord. Look at the surprise. We may think that the Lord would have directed him to do the same thing. But he said, this time, don't do that. Change the strategy. Change the strategy. This time, circle around them. Circle. Don't do it like the way you did it before. The strategy is changed now. You see, that is why we don't get it right. Because we think we know. We think we know it. So we don't get it right. We are familiar with a set of circumstances. So we have become proud and we don't even inquire of the Lord again. So when you fail, then you say, why did I fail? But this time, I know it. This thing, I've seen it before. The last time the same thing happened, it worked. How come that this time it is not working? It is because you did not rely on the Holy Spirit. You are an ambassador who lacks the Holy Spirit. You don't rely on the Holy Spirit. You rely on yourself. And when God shows you something small, you cease to rely on Him. You seem to rely on Him. You don't rely on Him anymore. Because now you know what to do. But that time, the Lord told him that this time the strategy has changed. This time, don't fight them anymore, but circle around them. Do you think if he did not inquire of the Lord and ask for the Holy Spirit's direction, he would have known what to do? He would have done it the way he did it the first time. And what do you think would be the result? Would have been downfall. He said, do not attack them straight on. The Lord replied, instead, circle around behind. He changed the strategy completely. Changed it completely. And attacked them near the poplar tree. Verse 24, what happened? When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on the alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. The strategy change. If you are somebody who is not led by the Lord or by the Holy Spirit, the devil can always predict your strategy. He can always predict what you will do. Can always predict. And if somebody can always predict what you will do, he can lay a trap for you. So David did what? Did what the Lord commanded. David did not ask the Lord, but why have you changed the strategy? The same situation. Why have you changed the strategy? Last time it was so simple. It was very simple. This one here, yeah, circle, circle, circle. We are circle, 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 circle. Why have you changed the strategy? Verse 22, you gave us one strategy, and it is the same thing because the Philistines have come again. It is not the Hezbollah. The same Philistines, they have come again. Why won't we apply the same thing? Sometimes we fight with the Holy Spirit. We can hear his small voice, but we harden our hearts and we want to do something else. The strategy he is showing us is very simple. But then you ask yourself, did I hear right? Is it going to work? This thing sounds so simple. Why do I have to circle? I don't need to circle. That thing is here. Why do I have to circle? Shoot. But as we are shooting, you see you are shooting a human being, but it is a wall. It will just bounce back and then hit you. God changed the strategy. You see? That is why sometimes you talk to somebody, you evangelize somebody nicely, no problem. And then the same person would turn around and behave in a very strange way, and then you are surprised. Because you are applying the old strategy, which has since expired. It has expired. The Lord is a moving God. He's always moving. Always moving. And you see, if you can always predict the Lord, he will cease to be God. You cannot predict him. No. You cannot predict the Lord. That is why you must always, always ask him. Always come to him. Hoping and believing that you don't know anything. Become like a child. You don't know. Don't predict him. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Flow with the Holy Spirit. Ask him, even though I'm familiar with this thing, God, maybe the strategy has changed you and I don't know. It's changed you, Kra. So David did what the Lord commanded. No argument. And he struck down the Philistines. All the way from Gibeon to Gaza. The guy could have made a fatal mistake. A colossal mistake. Being so presumptuous. Sometimes your pastor will send you to this. I know. Instead of you to ask, Pastor, what do you want? What should I do? You are too familiar with him. So you don't even ask. You just move ahead and then you just do whatever you want to do. Hoping and thinking that he will approve. And when he is angry with you, you don't understand. Presumption. It's no good. We are ambassadors who lack the Holy Spirit. We lack it. And you are surprised why your church is not growing. Because you are using the same strategy. One day I was talking to somebody about, a junior pastor, about some situations. As soon as I started, teach them loyalty. Teach them loyalty. I said, bro, if it's about teaching them loyalty, it is not about teaching them loyalty. That is not the place. Did they buy artists? Reverend was saying. Answer for me, please. Teach them loyalty. But it is not about teaching them loyalty. It is not about teaching them loyalty. You see, you have predicted what will work. We lack the Holy Spirit. We lack what? We lack what? Let's rise up and pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit.